Well, good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? It's so good to see each and every one of you. I'm glad that you're here. Grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to wrap up our Daring Faith series. I'm going to ask you to turn to two passages of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 1 Timothy chapter 6. As we're doing that, we want to welcome in all those that are listening online, so on our podcast or watching the video. High Ridge family, let's make them welcome by giving them a big round of applause if you would. Our friends all over the world, welcome. We believe that God has something powerful in store for you today. We want to thank you for tuning in. So as we're getting ready to wrap up this series called Daring Faith, I want you to understand that this entire series has been built around poking and prodding your faith by stirring the pot a little bit, getting you to step out and experience more of God than perhaps you've ever experienced in your entire life. Many of you have been going to groups. Have you been enjoying your groups? Groups are wrapping up, and hopefully you made some new friends. Hopefully you found some new people to hang out with. You found that people were just as crazy as you are. And in this process, we've started stirring each other's faith. The Bible calls us that. The Bible tells us to do that, to stir up our gifts and to stir up the faith among each other, to encourage one another, to build each other up, it says. And that's what groups are all about. And I see that happening in all the different groups. It's going to be sad for us to finally say goodbye to our friends that we spent the last 7 or 8 weeks with. But knowing that we found some new friends in the process, it's been awesome. Many of you have awesome projects that you're using your money. In case you didn't know, if you're not part of a group, we gave every single group $100 worth of seed money. This is your tithe money. So we've given it back to every single group and said, you guys find a way to bless people in your own way. There's no restrictions on it. Just bless somebody, bless something. Tell the city that you love them. And we have so many awesome reports coming in from your creative ideas of ways that you've given back money to bless people. So we have teachers that are being blessed, first responders that are being blessed. We have a group that is blessing other pastors in the area for Pastors Appreciation Month. What church blesses other pastors? This one does. That's what I'm talking about. I love the fact that we are in a very, very generous church. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, daring to be generous. Somebody say generous. Generous. Now, perhaps the biggest hurdle in ever stepping out in faith for people is money. Money. And it's interesting to me that just as I say that word, for some people in this place today, something begins to stir in your heart. And it may be anger, or it may be a bad taste because some other church has taken money, and you see what bad pastors and bad churches do with money when they mismanage it, or when they embezzle it, or when they use it to fund their own special trip to boar hunt, or I'm just kidding. It's amazing to me the things that happen in people's hearts when someone starts preaching about money. And it's amazing that Jesus knew this, and he preached more about money than anything else, because he knows that it has an effect on somebody's heart whenever you start talking about giving and letting go of your worldly possessions, letting go of wealth. Something happens in people's hearts. Either they start backing up and saying, I can't do that, or they take a step forward and follow God on an incredible adventure. When money no longer has a hold of our hearts, and we begin to trust God and step out in faith, oh, that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. But the biggest enemy of stepping out in faith is the belief that somehow if we start giving, if we start being generous, if we start being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying with our money, that somehow it's going to end up leaving us bankrupt. And there's that lie that the enemy has told God's people, that you're going to outgive God. That you're going to step out in faith and find that it's just a big black hole, and all of a sudden you're left poor and broken, destitute, and God won't meet your needs. But let me tell you, if we had a testimony service for the next 30 or 40 minutes, there would not be enough time to contain all the testimonies in this room of God's faithfulness when people stepped out in faith. I'm just telling you, you are surrounded on your row of people that have stepped out in faith and have given and have watched God come through in miraculous ways. Am I right? Raise your hand if you've seen the provision of God when you stepped out in faith. I'm telling you, it is a lie to believe that if you step out in faith and become generous, that you're going to end up bankrupt. It's a lie. It doesn't happen. You can't outgive God. I think money keeps people from following God more than anything else. You know, the Bible has over 7,000 promises in it, 7,000 guarantees from God. It promises things like success and long life and fulfillment and purpose. It promises blessing, but every promise has a premise. Every single one is built around three things. And you can take, this is a side separate, completely different sermon, but I want to just throw this in there. It's all built around integrity, honesty, and generosity. You want to experience the best of God's promises? You're going to have to learn how to be generous. You're going to learn how to be honest. Integrity goes a long way with God. So here are 7,000 different promises with premises for success and fulfillment for great relationships built around those three things. And generosity, by the way, is not just about money, because you can be generous with your time, with your advice, with your love, with your prayers. God is calling us to be generous people. Somebody say generous. Generous. We're to be givers. Why is God so interested in our generosity? And I think it's because generosity is love in action. Generosity is faith in action. It goes from where you're not just talking about it, you're not just praying about it, you're about it. You're all about it. And so don't hear me this morning, if you find yourself in a place where you're hurting financially, don't hear me saying you better give all that away. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because there are promises. These are blank checks from God that you have in your possession as children of God that you can cash. There are things that God has in store for you that perhaps you haven't tapped into yet. Love gives. Love gives. And I heard a pastor one time said, you know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You're going to be giving of your time, giving of your attention, giving of your affection. And I think for some of us that have been in bad marriages, and some of us you're single, and some of us you're single again, if you find a person that you think you love them and you find yourself giving a lot to them and you get nothing in return, they're trying to tell you something. They're telling you they don't love you. You ever been in that place where you find yourself giving and giving and giving, and that person is just taking and taking and taking? Love gives. Love gives its time. Love gives its attention. Love gives its affection. It always gives back. And God is love. We serve a generous God today. He loves to love. He loves to give. He loves to show his generosity. As a matter of fact, the most famous verse in the history of the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. Generosity is love in action. Generosity is faith in action. I did a word study, and I want you to check this out. The word believe, and that's a pretty important word, wouldn't you agree? The word believe appears in the Bible 272 times. The word pray, which is a pretty central theme of the Bible, wouldn't you agree, appears 371 times. The word love, that's a pretty big deal to God. If God is love, that word love appears 714 times in the Bible. But the word give appears 2,152 times. Why? Because our God is a giver. Our God is a generous God, and he wants us to imitate him. He wants us to start letting go of worldly possessions, letting go of things, and become givers just like he is. He's modeling it for us. God is a giver, and he wants us to be just like him. God's a generous giver. If God wasn't generous, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be alive. We serve a generous God. So I want to give you, if you would, 12 benefits of generosity. 12 benefits of generosity. 12 things that happen in my life every time I embrace generosity. These are wonderful scriptures. I'm going to give you a ton of scriptures, by the way. And I want to show you and prove to you through God's word how God wants us to embrace generosity and become generous people. Now, hopefully, there's not something stirring in your heart that thinks that I'm here to take up your money. You'll notice that this church, we don't take up an offering here. So I need you to let go of that. Notice I'm not going to take up an offering when we're done. We don't do that here. Matter of fact, I've never once asked you for money. I don't do that. What I'm going to ask you to do is listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to whatever he says. Matter of fact, if you feel compelled or you feel like I'm laying some guilt trip on you, do what the Bible says, don't give. It says you're not to give under compulsion like that. God loves a cheerful giver. You don't get credit for giving out of guilt. I want to give you 12 benefits of generosity, if you would. Number one, my generosity honors God. You want to live a life that brings honor to God? You're going to have to embrace generosity to do it. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Notice how it ties the gospel in with generosity. Here's the gospel that God sent his one and only son, that he gave And our generosity brings honor to God. It shows us that the gospel is still alive and it's still working. We're supposed to be a generous people. God has called his church to be the most generous movement on the planet. We're to be his hands and feet, always giving. You shouldn't have to rely upon government to solve every problem. It should be the church. We're God's hands and feet. We don't have to depend upon politics to help people that are hurting. My generosity honors God. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever is generous to the needy honors God. If you want to bring honor to God, you're going to have to embrace generosity. It's just part of it. Number two, my generosity draws me closer to him. It brings me closer to God. And we answer that question all the time in ministry. How do I get closer to God? You're going to have to embrace generosity. It's just part of it. Deuteronomy 14:23 says, the purpose of tithing, or the first 10% of your finances, is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. God doesn't need your money. It's a test. It's a lesson. And it shows us that we can put God first. I want to be closer to God. Are you tithing? This is the key. This is how you put God first in your life. So whatever I invest into, that shows God what's important to me. When I invest into God's work, it shows him that he matters to me. I'm teaching the principle of the first to my son. My son has his first job. Now he's adulting. And I said, son, as you start receiving your first paychecks, you need to understand this. He's like, I know, I'm tithing already. I said, that's a wonderful thing. But I tithe with more than just my money. You see, tithing, the first 10%, that's just obedience. That's returning back to God what he asked for. But generosity is over and above. And I don't just tithe out of money. I tithe the first part of my day. When I wake up, I get immediately in the presence of God. I thank him for all that he's doing. God gets the very first part of my day, every day. He gets the first part of my year with fasting and praying. He gets the first day of my week. We honor God with the first and the best. We don't give him whatever we have left over of our energy. We honor God with the first. And it brings me closer to him. Matthew 6:21 says, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. I want to show God that my treasure is in him. You want to be closer to God, invest into him and invest into what he's doing. Number three, the third benefit of embracing generosity is my generosity makes me more like Jesus. Every time we give, it makes me more like Christ. The more godly that we become, the less money will have a hold in our hearts. We find this in Proverbs 21, verse 26 says, the greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. Love to give. Luke 11, 41, Jesus himself says, purity is best demonstrated by generosity. I want my life to be pure. You're going to have to embrace generosity to do that. So to live a holy life is to be a giver. The fourth benefit, my generosity is the cure for materialism. Somebody say amen. Oh, Satan has a very powerful tool that makes you materialistic, and it's called Amazon Prime. Somebody say amen right there. And materialism is all about more. I got to have more stuff. Got to have the latest and greatest. Got to have the next this and the next that, the new and improved. And I don't understand what that means. If it's new, why did you improve it? If it's improved, it's not new, but I still got to have it. And I've heard many people say, well, I'm not materialistic. If you're not generous, you actually are. I'll show you this in scripture. Matthew 6:24 says, you can't serve both God and money. Matter of fact, one version says it is impossible. Both can't have first place in your heart. If you want to be a servant of God, you're going to have to let go of money and embrace generosity. It has to be where God can speak to you and you release funds to wherever he says, I want to bless this. You have to decide what's most important. In a consumer-driven culture, it's hard to fight materialism. It's hard to look at your friends and the things that they have and say, I need that. It's hard to say, well, I'm going to wait. I'm going to make sure that this is taken care of before I take care of that. I'm going to be responsible. It's hard to do that, especially when friends you think have more than you. But let me just tell you this. If you have a wonderful friend with some new toy, borrow it. Rent it for a day. This is even better because you don't have to store it. You don't have to pay insurance on it. You don't have to maintain it. You don't have to clean it. You don't have to make the payments on it. Borrow it. That's a completely separate sermon on coveting, and I'm just telling you, that one's coming at some point. But we live in a very materialistic, consumer-driven culture that says, I've got to have, I've got to have, I've got to have. And God's saying, you've got to give. Let go of that. It doesn't matter. It's just stuff. It's easy to believe that our self-worth is based upon our net worth, but nothing could be further from the truth. One has nothing to do with the other. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, command, and somebody say command, those who are rich, and I want to start right there, because the poorest of the poor in America is still richer than the rest of the world. Most of our world lives in poverty. So you're rich. If you know where your next meal is coming from, if there's any change in your pocket, if there's anything in some bank account, if you drive an automobile, if you have a roof over your head, if there is running water in your house, you are extremely wealthy. And you need to understand that. There needs to be a mind shift that you think, well, I'm not ultra wealthy. Compared to the rest of the world, yeah, you are. We've been given a huge advantage by being born in the United States of America, by living in this country at this time. This is the most wealthy nation that's ever existed. You're wealthy. And the Bible says that if you're wealthy, that I'm to command you not to be arrogant, not to put your hope in wealth, it says, which is so uncertain, but to put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy the things that you do have. God created everything for us to enjoy it. Matter of fact, God looked upon creation and said, it's good. He tells man, dominate it, enjoy it. This is for you. I created all of this for your enjoyment. Notice it says the second time, command them. It doesn't say suggest. It says command. It says command them to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will take hold of the life that is true life. Here's God's command to us. Be generous, share. And this is where you're going to find true life, by giving it away, by letting go of the things that have a hold of you. Number five, my generosity demonstrates my faith. We've mentioned before that generosity is faith in action and love in action. And this is why I've been trying to build your faith for the past 8 weeks, because I need you to grab hold of this. This is not just faith. This is daring faith. I'm asking you to step out and do more than you've ever done before, to boldly go where no one has ever gone before, right? Whatever it takes. I'll speak any language that it takes. Klingon, I'll speak Klingon if that's what it takes. Spanish, I can't really do that very well. My grandparents would be ashamed of me. Whatever it takes to help you understand that generosity is demonstrating your faith. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13, it says, your giving proves the reality of your faith. That's a good scripture. Philemon 1, verse 6 says, you are generous because of your faith. Malachi 3, verse 10, one of the most widely used scriptures when it talks about giving, it says, bring your whole tithe, which is the first 10% of your income. Bring your whole tithe to my storehouse, which is the temple, which is the church. The first 10% of your income, gross, belongs to God. It's supposed to be into the church. Wherever your home church is, if this is your home church, your tithe belongs here. If your home church is somewhere else, your tithe belongs there. Don't give it here. It goes there. But by the way, this is obedience. This is not generosity. This is the very beginning of your stepping out. It says, test me in this. And this is the only time that you're going to find a scripture where God says, I dare you. Test me, God says, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. Somebody say, I'll take that. Number six, the sixth benefit of being generous, my generosity reveals my character. It shows what's going on in the inside. It shows what kind of heart I really have. So the Bible says that God uses money to test what's really going on inside of each of us. And honestly, if God is stirring your heart right now, it's probably because you're scared. You're afraid to really test him. You're afraid that you're going to step out and someone's going to misuse your money. I learned this a long time ago. God had to do this work in my heart where I realized it's not mine. And if someone misuses it, that's between them and God. But it's not going to be my fault that I'm not being obedient to what God has called me to do. My job is to give. His job is to be the judge. So I've learned that if God has led me to a place, my tithe belongs there. And I release it because it's not mine anymore. So the Bible says God uses money to test what's really inside of you so that he can trust you with more. We find this in Luke 16, verse 11, Jesus' own words. He says, if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? It's a test. It's a test to see what God can trust you with. Number 7, my generosity brings God's blessing. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, generous people will be blessed. There's another one of those 7,000 promises for you right there. You want God's blessing? Embrace generosity. Let God use you to bless other people. God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. And God's like, I'm trying. I'm trying. Bless someone else. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10, it says, give generously. Then, because of this, God will bless you in all of your work and in everything you put your hand to. What an amazing promise from God. Don't you want God's blessing upon everything you put your hand to? Be a blessing. Give. God says it obligates me to bless you. I want to bless you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, God loves the one who gives gladly or cheerfully. It says, and God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more so that there will be not only enough to meet your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Number 8, my generosity increases my happiness. You know, I've never once had a counseling session in my office with someone telling me I'm so unhappy with my life that was generous. Not once. You won't find generous people that are not happy. They're living with the promise of God. You want a happy and fulfilled life? Start with generosity. And I found that the most generous people are some of the happiest people on the planet because money no longer has a hold of them. They're not living with anxiety of how they're going to pay the next bill. Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus says this, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. You know, I've realized that my greatest happiness, the happiest I've ever been in my life is directly correlated to times where I've been the most generous. And so if you find yourself in that place today where you're just like, I'm struggling with, I'm just not happy. I want to just pose a question to you. How's your heart? Have you embraced generosity? Are you blessing anybody else? Are you giving to meet anybody else's needs? Because I think the Holy Spirit right now has been working on your heart and wanting to bless you, and he's given you some instructions of things to take a faith step in. It's just a matter of you doing it. Let him bless you. You know, the older we get, the more we enjoy giving. You know, I enjoy Christmas morning watching my kids open the gifts that I bought for them. We never once told them any lies about Christmas. I'm not going to say anything else about that. We never did. Why? Because I want those thank yous. I want the hugs. I want, what a great gift, Daddy. You better come over here and give me a hug. That's me that bought that. I'm the fat man, and I'll put on a red suit if you need me to. But you're going to tell me thank you. I love watching my kids open the gifts that I've worked very hard to buy them. Why? Because I've grown up, and I realize it's not just about me. And God wants that to happen spiritually inside of every one of our hearts. There's a reason why he wants us to learn how to give, because it's part of our maturity. It's not about you anymore. God wants to funnel his blessings to other people and to use you to do his work, to carry out his purposes upon the earth. It's not about you. So the moment that we let go of this idea that God has to give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, and instead we say, God, let me bless. Show me how to be a blessing to others. That's when you start growing up. You start maturing in the faith. Number nine, my generosity expands my influence. You know, raise your hand if you've ever waited tables for a living. Where are you at? Where are you? Everyone that's ever waited tables for a living, I would bet that you remember people that were more generous to you, and you remember those that did not tip, right? You're going to remember your biggest tippers. When they walk in, you're like, I got that table. Well, they're sitting in my section. No, they're not. That's part of my section over there, too. Their generosity has expanded their influence. You're going to remember them. You know, God's given us a tool to help us increase an influence across this city, and it's our money, how we spend it, how we're generous with it. It gives us an opportunity to expand the kingdom of God, and they'll remember, wait, these people are Christians, and I'm used to Christians not tipping me. If you've waited tables, there are groups of people that you don't like to wait on. And it's that Sunday lunch crowd. Christianity has lost, and we've become known as the stingiest people. And I remember hearing a conversation one time, like, this person hands the check back to the waiter and says, you know, hey, I gave God 10%. You can't expect me to give you 15%. I'm thinking, thanks a lot. You just ruined it for all of us. Now, the moment that I try to invite somebody to church, I'm getting spit in my food. Christians are known as stingy people. And that's become our influence. It doesn't have to be that way. That's not how God ever intended for us to be. Generosity is supposed to expand our influence. Proverbs 11:24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Psalm 112, verse 9 says, those who give generously to those in need will never be forgotten. They have influence and honor. Now, the older you get, the more you think about things like honor and influence. It's part of maturity. And when you embrace generosity, you get that. Here's another promise from God. You're generous, people will remember you. There's influence there. There's great honor there because you're a giver. You walk into a room and people remember who you are because of how you made them feel, the way that you've honored them and blessed them. Number 10. My generosity multiplies my money. And lots of Christians don't know this. Lots of people have never seen this before in Scripture. But God makes my 90% go farther than my 100%. God takes the 90% and begins to bless it. And when I have 100% and I keep it for myself, it gets cursed. Because God says, you're robbing me. You won't even do the bare minimum. God takes our 90% and begins to multiply it. And it begins to produce fruit, begins to bear fruit all over the planet as God can use us to be a funnel for his blessings. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. What a great promise from God. It says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. There's the promise with a premise again. One of those 7,000 promises from God. You want to prosper? You want to be refreshed? Here's the premise, refresh someone else. Be generous. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 says, you will be enriched so that, here's the premise, you can give even more generously. And I've seen people that would step out in faith, get a blessing from God, and say, that's as far as I want to go. I'm keeping it. And God's like, that was just the beginning. Come on, there's so much more. God loves to be the God of multiplication. You give God what you have, the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and all of a sudden it becomes enough to feed 15,000. Give him what you got. It doesn't have to be a lot, but you have to be able to trust him with what you have. God loves to multiply. Please hear me this morning. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear that. God loves to multiply what you give him. Give it to him. Trust him with it. Number 11, my generosity brings God's protection. Lots of people don't know that as well. There's another promise from God in his word with that premise. You want my protection? Embrace generosity. Psalm 112, verse 5, it says, all goes well for the, somebody say the next word, generous. man who conducts his business fairly. So there's generosity, honesty, and integrity all in the same sentence. All goes well for him. Now look at this. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. Notice this, that every single life, whether you live for God or don't live for God, is going to be surrounded by evil circumstances. Bad things are still going to happen. But it says if you embrace generosity, you're not going to be overthrown by it. It says God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. That's a good scripture. That's a powerful word from God right there. Number 12, we'll finish it up with this. My generosity will be rewarded. God promises that he sees it and will reward when you take a step of faith and start embracing generosity. Start letting go of materialism, letting go of the consumer-driven culture, letting go of money, letting go of your time, letting go of this all-about-me mindset. Money is not to be loved, it's to be used. 1 Timothy 6 says this, use your money to do good, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you'll be storing up for yourselves real treasure in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. So it says we're to love people and use money, not the other way around. So you can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. Yes, you can. Matter of fact, four times in Scripture, Jesus says, send it ahead. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Well, how in the world do we do that? I want to show you this scripture, Luke 16, verse 9. Jesus says, I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and to make friends. It says, in this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. We're to use money to love people. It begins to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. God will reward you on the other side of this life based upon your generosity here. I wonder, let me just ask you this, and be honest with yourself. Have you used your worldly resources to get people into heaven? Who will be in heaven because of you? And for some of us, there's a whole list. And for some of us, you're thinking, I may not know. Let me just tell you this. If you find yourself tithing and being a generous person, there are people that are going to be in heaven because of you. If you're giving to this church, we've had over 200 people receive Christ because of your giving. That's part of your generosity. There are people that have literally changed eternity because of your gifts and your generosity. That's what money's for. Use money to help people meet Jesus. We're to use money to build God's plan, to build his bride, to build his church. That's what it's for. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.